Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would speak to us from your word by your spirit this morning. Amen. Well, we're going to look at that passage that Anne's just read to us. So that was on page 128 of the New Testament. So if you have closed your Bibles, I'd be very grateful if you opened them again at that page so we can look at the section together. Page 128, Acts chapter 6. And it seems that the apostles were the ones that were being left to do all the ministries within the church, including overseeing the distribution of food to the widows who were part of the church community. As the church grew, there was just too much to be done. So they looked to delegate this task with others within the church. So let's have a look at from verse 2 onwards and see what was said and done. It says, "And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, 'It's not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the Word.'" Now, this isn't to belittle the practical ministry of caring for the vulnerable. It was important that those chosen to carry out that work were of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. And of course, this is true for any ministry within the church. But the apostles couldn't do everything, and the calling for them was, as we saw in that passage, prayer and serving the word. That was the work set out for them within the church. And prayer here, I don't think, is referring to the apostles' need for having time for personal, private prayer. All members of the church would be encouraged to put time aside for this. So the apostles would not be in a position to claim special treatment to make time for their personal, private prayer. This whole section in Acts is about ministry. Ministry to widows, ministry of the word, and ministry of prayer. And it's this prayer ministry that I want us to think about today. Having a personal prayer life is essential in our walk with Jesus. But prayer ministry is more about people praying with others. And I'm going to ask us to have a look at some of the examples that we can find in Acts about people praying together. So we're going to flick about a little bit in Acts, but it won't be too much page turning. Perhaps you'd like to turn to page 122 to start with. And we're in Acts chapter 1. And would you like to have a look at verse 14 of chapter 1? It says, "All these," and that's the 11 disciples listed in verse 13, "all these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers." So, having witnessed the ascension of Jesus, and before Pentecost, the disciples constantly prayed together with others. And a little further on in this same chapter, have a look at verse 24, where the important decision of choosing an apostle to replace Judas is preceded by them praying together. Look what it says in verse 24. "Then they prayed and said, 'Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place.' And then comes Pentecost, And the Christian church begins to grow. And what do they devote themselves to? Well, have a look. On page 124, in chapter 2, verse 42, see what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Notice the definite article here. It doesn't just say, and prayers, it says, the prayers. This doesn't mean just prayer in general, but a particular event of praying together, which went along with the breaking of the bread and the teaching of the word. It didn't take long for persecution to start against the church. And after they'd been arrested and then released, what did the disciples do? They'd been threatened not to say any more. So what did they do? Have a look on page 126. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. What did the disciples do? They prayed together and they said, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness. So of course, private prayer is important. But over and over, the book of Acts also shows us the importance of praying together. All the examples that we've just looked at are described in Acts before the passage that Anne read to us today from chapter 6. There are many more examples that are given after chapter 6. One more to look at then in Acts. Let's turn to page 136, chapter 12. In this bit, we read that James had been martyred and Peter was imprisoned by Herod. And in verse 5, we're told, while Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. The church there praying together for Peter. And we read then that Peter was miraculously rescued. Jesus, of course, taught about prayer. In chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus taught that when we're praying in a private, personal way, that's what it should be, private and personal. He says, whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Now the reason he said that was because there were a lot of people showing off about how good they were praying and praying their prayers, their personal prayers, out loud so that people could see them just to see how great they were. And Jesus is saying, no, if you're praying and it's just between you and the Lord, keep it just between you and the Lord. If you're praying personal, private prayer. But then Jesus goes on in Matthew 6 to give a model prayer to his disciples, which we all know, of course, and we call it the Lord's Prayer. Now, in this prayer, he says, Our Father, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, and so on. All the way through, Jesus uses the first person plural. So as the first part of Matthew 6 is about personal, private prayer, the next bit is about praying together. Whatever we're praying, in public or in private, Matthew 6 reminds us that when we pray, we are praying to God. We're not demonstrating to others how good we are with words. In John chapter 17, having taught his disciples about the things to come, Jesus prays for his disciples and with his disciples. We know he must have prayed with them as well as for them. Otherwise, John would not have been able to record all that Jesus had said. Now, we've not got time to read all of that prayer. It's a wonderful prayer that he prays for his disciples. But it might be good just to look at a little bit. Would you like to turn? This is the last time I'm going to ask you to turn your pages over. Page 115, and we're looking at John chapter 17. It's page 115, John chapter 17. And this is part of Jesus' prayer, starting from verse 15. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. And then, in this prayer, Jesus also prays for us. He prays for you and me. Because he says in verse 20, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. Now, Jesus could have prayed that prayer for his disciples in private. We often read of Jesus going off in private to pray. He could have gone off in private to pray that prayer. But I think the fact that he is right there with his disciples, praying for them and with them, must have been a great source of strength and encouragement to them. And this is part of prayer ministry. As people pray with us, and for us, the Holy Spirit uses these prayers and builds us up. Now, of course, praying is something that all Christians do. And at times, each one of us may be called to serve others by praying for them and praying with them. So the prayer ministry team that are meeting today and are with us today, this team don't consider themselves to be special in any way or special at prayer, but they've made themselves available to serve in this way, so that there will always be somebody available to pray when there is a need. So, what does our prayer ministry team do? Well, I'm not a member of the prayer ministry team, so I may not get everything right in this next bit, but there's plenty of people here who can put me right if I get something wrong. First, members of the prayer ministry team are available to pray with people after the 9:30 and the 11 o'clock services in that corner over there every week. Second, they lead special services like this one, where wider opportunities to be prayed for are offered. Third, the prayer team meet once a month to pray for the needs of those who have asked for prayer and have given permission for prayer needs to be shared. Now, this permission is essential because privacy and confidentiality, these are considered to be very important. They're of paramount importance, unless, of course, there are safeguarding issues. So the prayer team will only share if permission is given. And fourth, any member of the prayer team may be contacted at any time with a prayer request. And again, if permission is given by the person making that request, then this will be shared with the rest of the team for prayer. So that's how the prayer team serves us. And that's something to give thanks to God about, isn't it? In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he tells Christians to bear one another's burdens. And prayer ministry is a very important part of doing that. So we thank you, Lord, for prayer. We thank you for the prayer ministry team. Amen.